Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the WWL Studios downtown here in New Orleans. We want to thank the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, for sponsoring second guest. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. Got some great guests on. Willie Rofe, man, one of the all-time greats, will be on with us in the 6 o'clock hour. In the 7 o'clock hour, Patrick Surtain from Edna Carr High School in Miss, great career with the Miami Dolphins, and he actually ended it like Willie City Chiefs.
So this is the dad.
This is the dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now you got a son that's going to end up being
right.
One of the top 10 or 12 picks in the draft. You know, Patrick had to wait a little bit to get that call. He was a third-round pick. So we'll have Patrick on. He's coaching out in Miami. And great guy from the city. And I always tell him he should have went to LSU. He said, but that's a long story about why. And then at 7:35 tonight, Tim Rebo, the head football coach of Nicholls State University. The Colonels will be cranking up on-the-field action come in February. So we'll have Timmy on to talk to us about it. Bob, we got the Super Bowl teams, Kansas City Chiefs. We both picked the Chiefs in the summer, so we were right on that, and we were wrong on the NFC team.
Well, we thought it'd be the Saints.
Yeah,
or
we thought it'd be the Saints.
And we probably thought it'd be the Packers. But Tom Brady had something to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the crazy thing. We both picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. No, you and I, we didn't even talk about it. We, you know, we just kind of looked at, you know, kind of how it was going. We both said, you know, I think the Chiefs repeat if that's the case. So going back to that Packers-Bucks game, man, Matt LaFleur has been a really good coach with the Packers and what he's been able to do. But, Bobby, that fourth quarter was El Stinko. I mean, I still don't get you got Aaron Rodgers on the field. That you don't go for it on fourth down. You got to settle for a field goal, and you're putting your defense right back on the field against Brady, who did not have a good second half. Now, he really played well in the first half.
He's unbelievable in the first
half. But the second half, three turnovers. Here's the crazy thing. The Packers get it, and they do nothing with it. Okay, you're getting turnovers, but you're not getting no points out of it. That goes to show you something, that for all the talk, and listen, I don't want to take anything away from Brady, but down the stretch, it was the Bucs' defense. They got a running game going and almost a Brady influence of, hey, let's do this like the Patriots were doing it. We run the football, throw the little ball out in the flat, get it to the tight end, and then we hit one or two deep balls downfield. But controversial, man, if you're doing shows in Green Bay today, Bob, I mean, Matt LaFleur is getting roasted for not going for it, and it would have been something I'd have had to do. If we lose by 8 or if we lose by 5, what's the difference? You know, my thing is you got to get it.
Well, to play devil's advocate, though, the percentages, now you could say, well, percentages, you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers. 4th and 8 would be hard to make. Then you got to make the two-pointer. Then, I don't know, you have to be a risk-taker. I think Bruce Arians.
Playing with house money when you're that deep.
Bruce Arians and Andy Reid, I think they'd have went for it. But I think too many people are taking up for Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable. But the one thing, when you can run like Aaron Rodgers still at his age.
I don't know why he pulled it down.
Third down and 8, why didn't he run?
I agree.
Because all the defenders were going towards the middle, his eye, following his eyes. If he'd have just took off and sprinted, he would have scored. Or he'd have got out on the 1-yard line And then you go for it if it's fourth and one or fourth and two in that regard. But, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, they're leading 28-10. And the Packers, the reason why they even rallied, because Brady threw three interceptions on three straight drives for just the second time in his career. So, Mike, it was like, oh, the snowball effect. Boy, it was coming down hard. I said, wow, the Packers are going to – they're a great chance. They're going to come back and win, but not so fast. You know, it just – hey, it is what it is with Tom Brady. He can just work magic. To me, that's a great accomplishment, what he did with Tampa Bay. And you just look at the city of Tampa Bay. Maybe it's a COVID thing. Success during the pandemic. I look at the Buccaneers. They're now the third Tampa team to play for a championship during the pandemic. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won the Stanley Cup. You don't think of hockey in Tampa, but they got a professional team.
And look at the Rays.
Devil Rays. Tampa Bay Rays. You look, they're in the World Series. They lost to the Dodgers, but they still got there. So here's Tampa Bay now in their backyard. They're in the Super Bowl. Listen, if you look at you're going to bet against Tom Brady, I think a lot of times you're going to get burnt. And the reason why I even look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, what do you do in championship games? Because Aaron Rodgers is truly one of the best of all time. But you know how we hold it against Drew Brees? How many championships have you won? Look at Aaron Rodgers. Even though he threw for 346 yards, three touchdowns and one pick, he's 1-4 in conference championship games as a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, just to go to the Super Bowl, Mike, 1-4. You know how we lost the Rams game, how disappointing that was, the NOLA no-call? Well, Aaron Rodgers has been there five times and he only won one. And it's in his own backyard. You got to give Tom Brady and the Bucs a lot of credit. Kind of like what the Giants did. They won three games on the road in the postseason. So I don't know what's going to happen against the Chiefs. I know we have Willie Rolfe on later. I know, boy, they'd want to put a young Willie Rolfe at tackle now because the Chiefs have
Eric Fisher out.
The two starting tackles, my understanding, that they're not playing.
Well, Eric won't play. He tore his Achilles.
It would be almost like we playing in the Super Bowl, that being the Saints, and Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead can't play. You don't think that would hinder you? And especially the way they're rushing the passer.
With Jason Pierre-Paul.
Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul with his eight fingers. You know, Mike, that's amazing. You know, he had that firework accident where two of his fingers got blown off, and he's from Florida. You know, he's a Haitian. I never forget. I think he went to South Florida in the Giants, and then he came back home because South Florida's in Tampa. So that's where he's playing in his backyard, and they combined for five sacks. And that's going to be key against Mahomes. You know, can you get after, you know, Pat Mahomes with that kind of pass rush? Because I think that's where Tampa Bay, what they've done, that's where they've won in the trenches. Mike, that was one thing with the Saints.
And look what they got back. Vita Vey.
Look.
And that big dude in the middle. Good gracious. He's a playmaker, and he opens things up for everybody else.
He gets that penetration of the middle. He ran over the guard one time and just put him on his behind. Now Aaron Rodgers avoided him, but still got that pressure there. But, Mike, if you look at it, now the Packers lost an NFC Championship game for the fourth time in the last seven seasons. You know how we disheartened? It's like, God, we're so close but so far. Well, if you're a Packers fan, think about that. This hadn't happened since 2010. You know, they won the Super Bowl. But they've now been fourth time in the last seven seasons. They make the NFC Championship game, and they come up short. They're very discouraging. What I was bringing up about the Saints and looking at Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, what did we not really do in the postseason?
You got no pass rush.
Yes. We did not get a pass rush. When the Giants end up beating the undefeated Patriots, remember in the Super Bowl, what did they do? They got after Tom Brady.
It was Justin Tuck. It was Michael Strahan.
They got six sacks. So that's one thing. I've been a little disappointed when I look back now what the Saints were about us not influencing the opposing quarterback.
How much pass rush did the Packers put on Brady?
Well, you can't.
Minimal.
I don't have anything in my notes about
minimal.
It. Yeah, no, it's
no, you're going to let him throw it. And again, that was a surprise. Three picks in the second half. He just kind of
three straight possessions.
He just kind of hung it up there. And my thing is,
that's something like I would do or something. Damn, Mayberry, you threw three straight possessions. You're doing awesome in the first half. You have over 200 yards passing and three straight possessions. What happens? Well, that's what the great Tom Brady did. But now going against the Chiefs, Mike, they better get pressure on Pat Mahomes. I thought this caught my attention, and this just goes to show you how good Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill is. Kelce had 13 catches, 118 yards, two touchdowns. Then you look at Tyreek Hill, 9 catches, 172 yards, becoming the first duo in NFL history with consecutive games of at least 100 yards receiving in each in a single postseason.
Okay, when the Saints played Kansas City, what did I tell you? When you watch the film of the Chiefs, and Mahomes needs something, if it's 3rd and 7, he's looking right at Travis Kelce. He does not think anybody can cover, if it's a safety, a linebacker, whatever. That guy's not covering Kelce. And he came up big yesterday. And so what you do is you try to adjust your scheme a little bit. Okay, let's put an extra guy on Kelce. So what do? You throw the football out in the flat to Tyreek Hill. Man, he took off yesterday, and it was like, that's it. And they got a great 1-2 combination. Their running game, you can tell, man, especially in the red zone, it ain't nothing to write home to mama about. But, man, Mahomes just make one big play after another. And so, it's the young gun against the old man.
Well, and even when you're watching the Super Bowl, let's say the Buccaneers jump on top and they might have a 10-0 lead. That doesn't mean
anything. That don't mean nothing.
You look at the Chiefs, they rally from double digits in each of the postseason games. Mike, it's just the way they look at last year. I remember I went and run some errands. Remember when the Texans were beating them 24-0?
You blinked your eye.
What? You come back and go, what? And the Chiefs come back and they won that game. That's why.
No, I thought I was working on Super Bowl Sunday.
No lead is safe. No lead is safe, I can tell you, against the Chiefs.
No, listen, Titans, similar situation.
Right.
Texans, Titans. Yeah. I mean, it was almost sort of a
Well, look, the Bills, they 9-0. They boinked the extra point. But look, it seemed like the ball was bouncing their way, but not so fast. And the Bills were hot. Who was the hottest NFL team as of late? You'd have to say the Bills. Look, they reached their first AFC title game and since beating Kansas City at home, since 1994. So you know their fans were hungry. They had won 11 of their 12 since their loss to the Chiefs early in the season. And they hadn't trailed. The Bills hadn't trailed in the second half since week 8. So all of a sudden, when they have to play catch-up, that wasn't Bills football. Now, that could be Chiefs football, but not Bills football.
They don't have the firepower to do it. Right. The other thing, too, is you go a first half, 0 penalties. They were letting them play. Now, that was an obvious pass interference call at the end, but you had let them play all game long,
right?
And then you throw that one.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't pick and choose. I'm going to have to talk to Carl. Carl was part of the crew yesterday. Carl Johnson from Thibodeau was part of the crew yesterday.
Yes, because the jersey or the shirt was just stretched so much.
Did it stretch?
Yeah, so you have to call that. That, to me, is an obvious call.
But they had sort of let them play. And listen, when you go an entire half without a penalty – that's rare in this league.
Well, they're letting them play, and it's also
and also time. Yeah. They hear the tick tick of TV, so they get a little bit of. I think told, hey, listen, let's don't get too flag happy. You know what I mean? We got television obligations, guys.
Well, and the one thing I look at Bruce Arians, he's ecstatic that we're coming home after being on the road. Mike making his first trip to the Super Bowl as a head coach, and he goes, look, we're coming home to win. Now, he's won a Super Bowl as an assistant, so I still give the edge, though, to Andy Reid over Bruce Arians. I
do, too.
But I tell you what, you got to give Bruce Arians a lot of credit and Tom Brady.
Who I give a tremendous amount of credit to is Byron Leftwich, who calls the plays in Tampa, how he was able to make that mesh with Tom Brady about midway point in the season. And Todd Bowles, you can say what you want about him as a head coach, man, as a defensive coordinator. Man, they got him, and they play fast.
And Mike, they had a late, to me, it was, I don't know if it was the midway point, but it's more to me after their bye week. Remember they had a late bye, like after 12 games? And look what have you done for me lately. They are the Bucs are truly road warriors. I'm going to say at the top of my head, I think they've won 8 games in a row on the road. You know how hard it is? As an NFL team, you're trying to go 500 on the road. Now, you might say, well, look who they played. But But still, they've won 8 games in a row on the road.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're going to go to our WWL talking text line. We're going to go to Kevin and Chalmette. Kevin, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hello, y'all. If you don't mind, I'd like to say a little quick question about my Miami Dolphins. Please, a question was asked by the media after the season to GM Greer and Coach Flores. How confident are you that Tua is your man, friend, longtime quarterback, and for the future, and he's very happy with him. You know, we'll have an off season coming up, and we'll get to that when we get to that drafting a quarterback in round one, pick 18. Will Mac Jones be available at pick 18?
Oh yeah.
You know, we're gonna do a third pick.
Well, the third pick. Listen, to be honest with you. You know, one thing with Brian, he tells you a lot of nothing in a press conference, Brian Flores. He learned that from Belichick.
He's cool.
Oh, man, listen, he came down to our line camp a few years ago, and, man, I'm just telling you, it didn't take you no more than 5 minutes to say that guy's going to be a head coach one day. You know, he's an alpha male. But, you know, for the Dolphins, I still think they need some firepower on the offensive side, the football. And being able to run the football better than what they can do. And on defense, never got enough guys right that can rush the quarterback. So, never. Never.
So Mike and Kevin, would you be pleased if Deshaun Watson could be in a Dolphins uniform?
I think Deshaun would rather go to New York.
No, but that's what his dad said.
I'd love to have him play quarterback, but not here in Miami. We'd be taking a step backward. You know, we want to.
Wait, they're taking a step backwards of Deshaun Watson?
And save them picks, and we like Tua.
Tua can't hold Deshaun Watson's jock. I mean, Tua got to do it in the NFL. Come on.
I understand, Bob, and I agree with you there, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, and with pick 38 in round when in the draft, the second round, you see Miami going after ATN out of Clemson, former New Orleans boy Travis ATN, or sticking with Najee in round one?
No, I think Najee goes in round one. I think ATN would be a really good pick for them, really good. He would give you an option off the edge. He's learning how to catch the football. He came to one of our pitch and catch camps, and I'm telling you, he couldn't catch anything, but he's really worked at it, ATN, really worked hard at it, and he is a very determined guy. I think in round two, I think ATN would be a really good option for the Dolphins. Now, going back to the situation with Deshaun, you're going to get an equivalency of 3 first-round picks for Watson. That's what you're going to get in, but it's going to be where you get them. Everybody asks, well, why the Saints aren't trying to do it? No, okay. If you have your choice of the second pick in the draft or the fourth pick in the draft or the 28th pick in the draft, come on. You're going to say, nah, I don't want to trade him for those early picks. Give me 28. And if the Saints would get Watson, okay, that might be the earliest of the 3 first-round picks you get. So I think he's going to end up in New York. I think he's going to end up with the Jets.
Why y'all New Orleans people like maybe, Jacksonville draft launch number one? What's wrong with Gardner Minshew coming to play with the Saints?
I'll pass on Minshew.
Get him on the fly, you know?
I'll pass on Minshew. I want a starting quarterback. I want a guy that I can win big with. And that is going to be the biggest decision for this organization in the offseason of what are you going to do? And you got to go outside the fray. Either draft a quarterback or you're going to have to trade for one. Now, you may get to 8 and 9 wins. Okay, with a Jameis Winston or a Taysom Hill, man, all I'm telling you is you need a special guy.
Well, you need a special
guy at quarterback.
Well, and the thing is, even if you get to 10 wins, let's say you're gonna you're out of game, you'd be 10-7. So what would we be a wild card, and then you're a playoff team? But what does that mean? Okay, you're a winner, but you're not ultimately
going
have
anywhere.
A chance for the championship. What were the teams that realistically? The perception, and it goes a long way, who had a chance for the championship. Why we talked about this. Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay in the NFC.
Right.
It wasn't the Bears. It didn't matter if the Bears made the playoffs. They made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years.
I told you the same thing with the Rams.
The Bears fans are so frustrated. And the Rams, what? If Jared Goff plays great, they have a great chance to win. But if he doesn't, which happens a lot, 50-50, flip a coin, then the Rams aren't successful.
No, Deshaun Watson is a game changer. But it's where you pick in round one.
Right.
That's the difference. And, you know, you try to explain that to
people.
But I don't understand, though,
Mike. How about Deshaun Watson's dad saying that he'd rather go with the Jets because of the head coach instead of the Dolphins? Well, isn't that like 1 and 1A? I mean, the
Mike,
coach with the
Mr.
Jets
Mike.
In Florida?
All I know is that no state tax in Florida.
Yeah,
now, I do know one thing.
But
because finances, and you understand that real well,
right.
Financial part of it. The other part, too, in New York, Bob, you imagine the kind of money you could make.
Off the field,
and if
yeah.
you win, what kind of money you could make off the field?
The modern-day Joe Namath. Yeah, and for the Jets.
Mr. Mike, can I close off by one more question, please?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's hypothetical, and you can't go back in the past and change your mistakes, but when we picked Ramczyk over Watson in the first round, and Ramczyk is a great right tackle, you think Houston would prefer maybe a straight-up deal Ramczyk for Watson?
Well, Ryan was the last pick in round
one.
In essence, what the Saints did, they picked Lattimore. Instead of Deshaun.
How about their second first-round pick?
Well, the second first-round, no, they hit on that, but they're not dealing that straight up. Ramczyk straight
like
up
we
for
did with Tunzel for all them picks.
No, Tunzel. Look all the picks that they gave up to get him.
Well, that was stupid.
Look all the picks they gave up.
The Texans are dysfunctional.
Yeah, and the Dolphins made out like bandits with that. Now you got to hit on the draft choices. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. We're going to go to Donald in Austin, Texas. Donald, you're on the WWL Talking Text line with Bobby and Mike.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was calling in reference to Sean Payton is underachieving with New Orleans. I thought we should have been playing that game yesterday. The weather was even, it was good enough.
It was nice weather. The weather wasn't a factor.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about Sean Payton, I think he's childish. You know, I know that's your boy. You know,
He's childish. What do you mean he's childish? You can't just say he's childish without giving. You got to give an example.
Let him finish.
Well, give an example.
This is my thing. When we was in Green, when we played Minnesota that year, you know, we came back from I think we were losing by 21 points in the game, the Minnesota Miracle game.
Right.
He was scolding. We had took the lead. And he was scolding the fans. I'm saying, like, Sean Payton, come on. Let the players do that. But you're a leader of this team.
Well, he's a coach with a lot of emotion, which could come back to bite you.
But you can't Bobby.
I agree. I'm not arguing with you.
And then the thing about it is, I seen on the Twitter yesterday, Michael Thomas. Now, you're supposed to be injured. You just come off having surgery. Now, you kind of mess with this guy from Tampa Bay, the defensive back. Like, hey, man, look, you had your chance to beat him. You lost. The thing about it is, also, I just want to say this. I'm not going to hold y'all. But I think Sean Payton going to leave us high and dry after Drew Brees leave. I'm telling you.
Well, so you think Sean Payton's going to leave the Saints?
No, I don't think he'll leave the Saints. Because Drew's going to walk. It's just when he's going to do it. Is he going to do it right after the Super Bowl? Is he going to wait a while and maybe give you a little bit of relief because of the way you can manipulate the cap if you retire or not on the team after June 1st? And so there's some cap, ramifications there that you can split that $22 million.
Yeah, and you play in the collective bargaining agreement dealing with the salary cap. Amy just did an outstanding job with the Picayune. If you look at her article yesterday, an advocate. Well, when she said this, Brees could essentially take a pay cut to a league minimum, a little over $1 million, and have the Saints turn in his retirement paperwork after June 1st,
right.
That move would save the Saints a hefty sum in cash in the ballpark, somewhere around $25 million. Well, don't we need all the help we can get with the salary cap?
And they do a great job.
That made a lot of sense there.
Yeah, and you got to give Mickey and Kai Harley – And, man, if I'm another team, I'm taking a long look at Kai and say, man, you want to come work that? Man, listen, I'm thinking about bringing him to my house and let him work my checkbook.
Or my taxes.
Yeah, the way he can do it. If you want a player bad enough, and I heard Jerry Jones say this years ago, man, if you want a guy bad enough, you can find ways to create money.
That's why if the Saints want Matthew Stafford
they will find a way to do
enough.
It.
He's 32 years of age. But the only thing, Mike, I look at, okay, what does Matthew Stafford really want? I mean, he didn't win a national championship at University of Georgia, but I just know only so many guys could spend it like he spent it. If you look at what they fell to 5-11, that being the Lions, for the third straight double-digit loss season. He's eight games under 500 for his career. So you might say, well, is he truly a winner? All I know is this would caught my attention, and that I know game in and game out. Stafford surpassed 45,000 yards in his 165th game of his career. That's the fewest games in NFL history by a player to reach that number. So you look at all the great quarterbacks.
Tell me a top running back he's had.
I know they didn't have Barry Sanders.
His offensive line's been El Stinko, and he has still found a way to do it. Man, and I hear this narrative of
– he's throwing 282 a career touchdown passes.
He doesn't fit what the Saints do.
Why?
No. Are you kidding me? You adjust his strengths to your offense. That's what you do. Good coaches adjust. Don Shula loved to run the football with Bob Greasy. When he got Dan Marino, guess what he did? He threw the football. Bill Belichick loved to run the football. As soon as he got Brady, they became more of a passing team.
I can tell you this. Matthew Stafford could spin the rock any year in and year out as good as Aaron Rodgers. Now, maybe he can't run as good
as Aaron. No, he can't run like Aaron.
No, he's a pocket passer. But, Mike, I'm talking about purely throwing the football. Matthew Stafford could throw it as good as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is, he's injury prone. Okay, you're not playing in the backyard two-hand touch. He went from 2011 to 2019. He started all 16 games every year. Okay, he hurt his back in 2019, had the surgery, got it fixed. Guess how many games he started this year? 16. So tell me about all the games he's missing because of injuries. No, players get hurt. You're not playing in the backyard two-hand touch. This is the NFL. But he ain't missed many times out on that field.
Well, I can tell you, if Matthew Stafford ever came to the Saints, and that's 50-plus years now, and the Saints organization, we go to practice and we watch practice, we'll never have witnessed a guy that could spin the rock like him.
No,
all the players, all the quarterbacks in the Saints' history.
With accuracy.
Yes.
We've seen guys that could spin it, but they couldn't hit the backside of a barn.
The Lions just don't – they never had a supporting cast. I mean, the Lions, that's where you go to die. It's like
– We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, we're going to go back to our WWL Talking text line. We're going to go to Justin in Metairie. Justin, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Oh, hey, how y'all doing today?
All right, Just, how you been?
I've been all right on the way home and just wanted to call in and say hello and give a hoot at, you know?
Yes.
And back to my question, though, is, Do y'all feel Marcus Williams is going to be worth trying to chase after and bring him back? Because I know he's going to be looking for a max contract and, you know, really get his money. And I totally get it. I feel like he's kind of an Achilles heel for the Saints defense. And, you know, I'm not too worried about the offense because I know Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, they're gurus when it comes to that. They figure out a way, and I know Sean will always find a way offensively. I feel like the defense is going to be in more of a rebuilding year than the offense, you know, even though Drew Brees might be gone, you know. So the long story short, I know that Sean could figure it out on offense and make something happen. But defensively, you know, at the end of the day, defense wins championships. And Marcus Williams has shown that he's a good player, but at the end of the day, great players make great plays. And it seems like short to make those great plays that really – you know, just wow you. You get that wow factor. And I don't think he's worth the money.
Well, they're probably not going to pay him. I think two guys that if you look at Trey Hendrickson and Marcus Williams, and then you can look at Sheldon Rankins. You got to look at their contract and where they're at. You look at Trey Hendrickson and Marcus Williams, well, they played their final year of their rookie deals this season. Now, Rankins played in his restructured fifth-year option. So, to me, I don't know. You say, can the Saints afford to bring back Trey Hendrickson? I don't think so. And then Marcus Williams, I think Trey Hendrickson obviously more attractive than Marcus Williams because I think they could demand a higher value instead of a team-friendly deal with the Saints. Like, for instance, you look at Von Bell. Okay, Von Bell, I think, had a nose for the football, and we didn't pay him. He goes to the Bengals, and they paid him way more than the Saints were going to pay him. But then we upgrade bringing in Malcolm Jenkins instead of Von Bell, highly communicating on the back end. So with Marcus Williams, I think, yes, they want him and Trey Hendrickson, but they have a number in their head. And the number is good, and I just don't know if that number is going to be high enough where they can get an open market.
I think the Saints bring back Marcus Williams. I think they're going to try to do everything they can to re-sign him. I think their coaching staff, front office, thinks he's the guy at that safety position. And I think of all the free agents, I think he's the most likely of the big money guys.
So you would say over like a Trey Hendrickson?
Over Trey Hendrickson. I think they'll do what they can to try to bring Marcus back on a long-term deal, yes.
Well, Mike. Okay,
so I disagree with you.
Okay, but no, but the devil's advocate. Do you think that he'd do a team-friendly deal? That if he can get more,
ain't no team-friendly nothing.
Okay, so you don't think he can get more money than the Saints would pay him in the open market?
I don't know that.
See that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so. I don't know that, but I will say
I think he's young and players go where the money is.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I really believe that of all the free agents, the big money free agents, he's the most likely for this team to bring back because of the way this coaching staff has talked about him, you know, and glowingly, where I think that. That sort of tells you where they would like to go with this. And so I think Marcus has a good chance to come back.
But, I mean
– or a tag put on him.
Okay, what are you going to pay a tag? Then look what you got to pay him. A Marcus Williams, is he even a Pro Bowler? I mean, he's not even – you know, not even talk about All-Pro. He's not even a Pro Bowler. I mean, has Marcus Williams done enough? Maybe that's just the Who Dat Nation speaking coming out of me. But I don't know if Marcus Williams –
the fans speaking.
Has done enough. To warrant that kind of contract if you'd have a franchise tag him.
I'm just saying, I pay attention to what the others say. I think that he's very likely to return.
I don't think Marcus Williams is that much. He is better, but he's not that much better than DJ Swearinger. That's just my opinion. He is better, but not that much better.
We'll be back, Justin. Thanks for the call with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. We're finishing it up here on our number one of the Second Guest Show. Bob, one of the things we're talking, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in the second hour. What's your best Mardi Gras memory? And Carnival is not going to be the same this year, but that won't stop the spirit of the community that loves purple, green, and gold. And WWO wants to keep those good times rolling. And you can help by sharing your best Mardi Gras memory at what you're looking forward to. And you can go to the front page under latest from WWL and follow how you can share your Mardi Gras memory. You and I are going to talk about it more in the second hour. We rode in the parade last year.
So not falling off the float?
Not falling off the float. And then we toast everybody. And then my back got jacked up. And I was throwing something.
And you had to sit down.
And I had to sit down.
I remember that.
And so we'll have a little more about it. But if you go on the front page, remembering your favorite Mardi Gras, WWL wants to know about it. And Bobby and I will share some memories of Mardi Gras. And we both were Grand Marshals in Hercules in Houma. We had a great time.
And you know what I'm not proud of? That actually, the last two parades I was in, I got tired. I was like exhausted after the parade's over. How can you be exhausted riding in a parade? Well, I was.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.